Spell your first and last name.
Okay. It's GeoffreyTaylor, Jeffrey Taylor.
And I'm Mary Overly, MaryOverlie.
So is this your first event since COVID hit?
It's our first in-person for us this month song. We did some open mics last season, like we did a couple in the spring and then we did a couple in the fall, but it's definitely our first with people, like sharing the same space and applauding at the same time and that kind of thing. So
are you nervous?
No more than I would normally be for a normal gig, which I tend to get incredibly nervous for.
Right.
So it's hard to know like how to parse out all those differences. But yeah, I'm a healthy nervous.
How about you, Jeffrey?
I guess the only thing I'm nervous about is like hopefully people feel comfortable coming. I think hopefully a lot of people have got their vaccinations and I think it'll be good.
So are you guys from this area or are you coming visiting from somewhere else?
I'm from Bemidji. Well, I've been here for about a decade.
Okay.
So we're anchored here. But
yeah, I live in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, wow. So do you come just for
this
concert?
Yeah, I just came for this concert.
Oh, wow.
We kind of corresponded, like, and then Mary sent me all the songs that she'd written down and the recordings that she made with her band, and then I kind of wrote my own parts in Missoula and then recorded that, and now we're here to put it together.
So over COVID times, did you guys like collaborate and like perform together online, or how did you figure
it's
that
hard
out?
To do sync. You have to do it like not synchronously.
Yeah.
But basically, like Jeff could hear us. We'd recorded in Supple Studios, which is here in town, and we sent him everything so he could hear what we were up to and play along with us. And then we did a couple open mics together too. So that was kind
over
of
Zoom.
Fun for, yeah, so, but you still have to do one by one. There is a special software that you can use to jam with each other, but he's 1,000 miles away, so.
Right.
And it can't solve that latency.
I've dealt with like about a 10-second delay.
Yeah.
That's typically like, that's how I thumb mark it, but yeah. I can't imagine.
1,000 miles is too far.
Yeah.
So the past couple of weeks we've been doing like Zoom practices where I just mute myself and I can hear them and I'm just like rocking out, you know, but they can't hear anything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So the concert is this weekend?
Yep, Friday and Saturday.
Okay, and how much does it cost to attend?
It's actually free. But for COVID's sake, we're asking people to get tickets so that we can keep an eye on capacity because we don't want to fill the place. So, but it is free. Anybody can come.
And will there be a live stream option for maybe those still a little hesitant?
Yeah, okay. We've already got about 13, 17 people have signed up. So you go to the same website to get tickets as you do the live stream link, and you can just click, I want the live stream, and then the email will go out tomorrow. Wow. So people will get their info tomorrow of how to go in. We'll do it through Zoom.
And how would you describe the type of music that you guys play? It's like, do you guys like do a modern take on these classical instruments I'm seeing here?
Yeah, it is really genre dense. Like, it's hard to say one genre. I've been saying it's a concert of new jazz, rock, and folk, because those are the three I could come up with that felt encompassing. Jeff calls us a rock band. I'm down with that.
Yeah, definitely the second half of the show is like rocking out. The first half is a little more reserved and classical feeling, but still not classical.
Yeah. Right.
traditional folky feeling.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. Well, can you guys play anything for the recording here?
I can play. Let's see here.
We've got some waltzes.
Lovely.
So we did a little bit of that kind of Appalachian kind of sound, but then I'm also doing, you know, these like. Very classical sounding. So some of that kind of stuff, and then sometimes it's like.
Yeah, the saw. There you go.
Roll, right?
Yeah, sure.
So this is a viola.
Yeah, so technically this is a viola, and it, basically it has what are pretty much cello strings on
it. Okay.
And so that drops, so like the normal strings of a viola would sound like this.
I remember
this
that.
This sounds...
I also remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that low... It's cool because this gives me access, like I don't have a cello and I don't know how to play cello, but it gives me access to that deep, earthy, like musty sound.
I know what you mean exactly, having played cello as a kid myself. So did you guys, when you first started picking up instruments, you guys were like kids, right? Mm-hmm. Probably in like classical orchestra and stuff?
I was piano lessons forever, so, but...
Yeah, so my mom was a piano teacher and a voice teacher, mm-hmm. so I grew up with all that, and then when I was 8, I started violin and never looked back.
So what would you say to young musicians if you had a room full of them, what would you say for inspiration to stick to their music and to practice their lessons?
Well, I would say, listen to as many different kinds of music that you can that use your instrument. So like stringed instruments, especially the violin, it's like so portable. And so every culture has kind of absorbed the violin into their own sound. And so, I grew up playing symphony music, and it was only really kind of in college when I started exploring other stuff and improvising. And
the rebellion, yes.
Well, freedom, yeah. I mean, the symphony's cool, but it doesn't give you the ability to voice your own ideas.
Yeah, not a whole lot of artistic license in pieces written well over 200 years ago.
Right.
What about you, Mary?
My advice would be to have a pair of, like, two streams going. Like, you need to learn what you're doing music theory-wise and, like, how things fit together. And you need to know... I don't think you need to know a canon, but you need to know how songs are played, but then you also need to have a rich writing life. I don't think you can sustain yourself. I mean, I stopped playing piano formally. Like, I stopped. When I went to college, I stopped lessons. I stopped. And then I missed it terribly, and so I just started, like, messing around and improvising, and I was like, oh, that's what this theory is for. Huh, that's how that all fits together. So you need both lives going, I think. You have to... I think if you're going to stick with it, you have to find the place inside you that needs the sound, like the voice that Jeff was like talking about. Like, you have to figure out that's going to be the thing that will carry you through. And for me, there was a huge delay. Like, I didn't pick up the keys again until I was probably like 20. I didn't start writing music down until I was 27, 28. So there was this huge like decade of just not much happening, but then once I started writing it down, the theory was like, oh, thank goodness, I have that part, So I can't read sheet music anymore at all. I'd have to sit down and relearn how to do that, but I know my way around, the C. I know what chords I need if I'm playing in C.
Right, I forgot how to read bass clef. I don't know how you read tenor clef.
Oh, I don't. No, okay. Wait, are you kidding me? The way I wrote the parts is I actually, improvised and recorded the parts first.
Okay.
And then went back and wrote them down afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Nice thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been playing symphony music forever, so like writing and reading music is probably my number one thing that I do.
Well, great, you guys. I think I have plenty to